Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Hi.
What it do?
Hi.
Hello.
That game last night was one that you let slip away.
Yeah.
That was your game.
Yep.
You could have won that baseball game last night.
I think it was actually Jaren Duran that let it slip away.
I think it was, I will put half of it on Jaren Duran and the other half on Nate Eaton.
But baby steps, Duran didn't threaten anybody in the crowd, so that was good.
Good call on the Nate Ethan.
I will also put a third of it, an additional third of it, on Shime and the Shime Jinx.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it wasn't really a jinx.
It was.
No, it wasn't. Bale wasn't pitching bad.
No.
Cora even said after the game that he just saw a lot of lefties, wanted to go to the lefties in the bullpen. That's
Shime.
All.
Yeah. Just take an L.
There's no L to take. Bale didn't pitch bad.
No, we lost. There's an L to take.
For the Red Sox.
Wait. Bale didn't pitch bad?
No, it's not like he let up five runs in the first inning or something.
He let up two.
Okay. Shea let up a home run in the first inning of his game. Like, what are we doing?
Okay, is there anybody in the six New England states that believes Bayo didn't pitch bad other than Chime?
No.
No, I don't think so.
That's fine.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe,
what you want.
Maybe Mr. and Mrs. Bayo, but other than that, no.
Three innings?
It wasn't his choice. We have to recalculate because I got to get 10% of the blame is on Sadan Rafaela, who can't lay down a bunt to save his life. So
that was brutal.
The blame is spread around. It's unfortunate. I have some faith. I'm going to hang in there. You got to go into tonight with a shaky at best proposition when it comes to pitching, only because you got the rookie, and so you used an awful lot of innings last night from Garrett Whitlock, and so you can't rely on that. But Curtis, I see you raising your hand.
Yeah, I have a silver lining.
Tell me to have faith.
Okay, so the bad news is the Sox had an opportunity to end the series and they didn't. They wasted their bullpen.
Yep.
The good news, Cam Schlitter is on the mound, and nobody in his family can get tickets to go see him pitch.
So.
Well, he did say yesterday that they have all been converted. Like, every member of his family is now a Yankees fan, he says.
Which is fair.
Including his dad, who I believe is the chief of the Needham Police Department. So, listen.
If it was your son, you'd do the same thing, you know?
No, I would not. I don't care if it was DMs. I would never be a Yankees fan. Never. Last thing I would ever do. If Brees were pitching for the Yankees, then I'd change my name. To be honest with you, change my name.
He'd be paying your mortgage moving forward. You would be a Yankees fan.
He would not be doing that.
Let me tell you, if James was cheering with the squad on the Cowboys, I would be a Cowboys fan.
True.
I'll just tell you that right now. Yeah. And Wiggy, you famously played in a Super Bowl where you were rooting for the team you were playing against.
Mm-hmm.
You remained a Patriots fan through and through.
Yep.
So.
I said if I was going to lose to anybody, I'd rather lose to New England.
Here is a text on the Subaru of New England text line. Good morning to those who are texting the show and up and early and listening to the show and watching the show. And it reads simply, Greg, why Nate Eaton? It's the third base coach that held him up. Nope, I'll put 5% on third base coach. And then I will tell you, and, you know, maybe just me, but I learned it very early on. It was probably when I was playing for Hayes Vending in the Farm League and Assabet Valley Little League. You got to keep your eyes on the ball. You are rounding third base. That throw is going – you never know what's going to happen with that throw. You have no idea. So you take your eyes off the prize, and that's on you. You don't turn back to third base. You sit there and wait.
Yeah, but in that situation, he's in a position where he can't keep his eyes on the ball because he's on second base, and the play is a play that was hit to second base.
I know you like to disagree with everything that's going on.
It's true.
I am, if you open the ears, when he has rounded third base,
right,
long after the ball was hit to second,
yeah,
when he has rounded third base, it is his obligation to watch that throw to first, and if that throw gets by, as it did last night, to advance as a runner in a game that you have to win.
It's the third base coach's fault. Wow. Bottom line is, my lead would have been, he giveth, he shall take it away. I gave Cora credit yesterday, and I shall take it away. In that position, you got to be aggressive. It's 3-2, count, two outs. Yoshida hits the ball to second. You should be running anyways,
yeah,
right? You shouldn't even be looking at anything else but the third base coach. And in that position, I wouldn't even really care. I'd be rounding third base. Chisholm scored 3-2,
yep,
from first base.
Yeah, that's what I was just going
to
say.
The third base coach was not going to send him until he determined whether that catch was made or not.
If the catch wasn't made, he easily scores. What are you talking about?
If
Chisholm doesn't
relax for a minute.
If Chisholm
ahead,
doesn't make that play, he easily scores from second. So why is the third base coach waiting for him to make the play? There's two outs.
I don't know what you're talking about. He was not at third base by the time the throw was made. He basically got to third base by the time Chisholm was throwing the ball to first base.
He was at second base as soon as the ball was hit. It's two outs. The count is 3-2.
Correct.
You should be running anyways.
He was. What are you talking about?
If they make the catch, then they're out anyway.
Yeah,
so it's just run.
So what am I talking about? What are you talking about? He should have been rounding third base as soon as the ball hit Chisholm's glove. And he should have been going home.
He was.
So then why would he be looking back for anything?
He didn't have his eye on the play, nor did he have his eye on the third base coach. Feel free to correct me. Curtis, am I off base on this? I don't know why we're arguing about it.
Well,
you're the one who started the argument.
No, I'm just saying because you're putting blame on the guy that shouldn't be his fault.
Who has had this? By the way, it's not the first time. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of baseball. He's had several kerfuffles when it comes to running the base paths. But go ahead, yes, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm kind of Switzerland here. Like I think that's a play, old school Ellsbury or somebody else that is a more talented base runner would have been running full speed the entire time, but. If you are the third base coach, the last thing you want is your player turning away from where they're running as a way to figure out what to do. Your job literally is to tell him without having him stop to keep going.
Right.
And with two outs, that's when you're aggressive.
Right.
You don't first and third out, you don't want to make it a third. This is the play where the ball is dancing off the glove of the first baseman, sort of bouncing six times. I would blame maybe 60-40 third base coach and then the player. Because if you're running to third base, the job specifically, I mean, you only have three or four times a game where the third base coach, other than relaying signs, is going to be in the middle of the action. And that's a case where he was indecisive. Would that make sense? Like he was a little bit, you could, but the player, if, I don't know. Like it's just, when you have a young, dumb team, this is what happens. And maybe they'll get smarter, and maybe we'll blame
the manager. That's why I was saying with the manager, you should know in that situation, it's a 3-2 count. There's two outs. In this situation here, hey, runners should be going. And if you're on second base, you should be like your ass is lit on fire. You're around the third. You're going home. And
especially when the ball's hit to your left.
Yeah, and if the ball gets through, you easily score. If the second baseman makes a play, then hopefully it's bobbled or something of that nature, which it kind of was bobbled in the sense from the first baseman. The second baseman makes a good play, but then the throw's kind of off, and in that position, you should have easily scored on that. That's why I said if Chisholm can score from first base on a 3-2 hit, that went down the first base line. Right, but Eaton's pretty fast, too, and he's already on second base.
That Who was the guy on first that got to second on the deep fly in game one? There was a play where the Red Sox tagged up. They were aggressive in game one where there was a fly ball to center field with
two outs. It was Sogard?
Yeah, it was Sogard who turned the single into a double that was hit to right field.
Right. So that is a frustrating. I mean, if the Red Sox lose tonight, there are going to be 30 things you look back on last night and just say you had six chances to. Yeah. I mean, the Duran drop is just a pathetic play.
The Duran drop and the inability to lay the bunt down when you gotta lay the bunt down.
Because he never plays small ball, and now he's asking guys to do things that they don't do.
That's not on Cora. I mean,
what do you mean?
It's gonna be
because
tough
that
this
falls
morning.
On the player. That's, like,
but if you don't, but if you never,
a Major League Baseball player is not expected to be able to lay a bunt down. Alex Cora wouldn't even tell you last night post game whether he was free balling and decided to bunt on his own or not. I have no idea.
Oh, okay, so if we don't know if he decided to bunt on his own, isn't that on the manager the not getting to the player on here, what we're doing in that situation? I've been talking about small ball year long.
You have.
But if they never do it, and granted, I understand that Major League Baseball plays and they shouldn't know how to lay down a bunt, but if you never do it, how do you expect the guy to do it in that situation? Mm. So, I mean, that's if Cora did say, hey, I want you to lay down a bunt, and I don't know the numbers here, you'd have to ask the baseball nerds, how many bunts has Sadon Rafael laid down this whole season?
I don't know, but I will say this, and I feel like I'm going to be vacillating a lot today, but I do agree with Wiggy in that if the team executed a bunt and was situationally sound last night, Cora would be credited with that.
Right.
So if they are unable to do those things in those moments, then it would only be reasonable to say that he would be partially to blame.
Yeah. Well, the Red Sox have put themselves in a more difficult position than we had hoped. And you can talk about that all morning long on this show. Bad mojo last night.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Was Hunter Dobbins' father in the alumni seats at Yankee Stadium last night? Is that what it was?
Oh,
nice.
Not nice.
Was that what was going on, maybe?
Maybe. I just hate watching. Carl Ravitch, for whatever reason, he's from Needham, Massachusetts, and he just sucks. Like, he's just sitting there, and he's talking about how Giancarlo Stanton, who makes $50 million a year to suck, had batting practice and how he was really putting in the work. It's like, if he's not taking batting practice, what else is he doing?
Also, how on the Duran error, how is that scored a hit?
Oh, my God. What a pathetic.
It hit him in the glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't need to dive for that.
No.
Can we all agree he didn't need to dive for that?
No, he didn't need to dive.
He likes being a dirt dog. So he wanted to get dirty. That was a horrible play.
I really think
James would have caught that.
I had that baby scored E7 at home. I don't know what they were talking about.
Len Laird agrees.
Yeah. Well, all right. It will be Connolly early tonight, and the entire hopes and dreams of the New England region hang on the shoulders of a rookie. And so, but the good news is you are facing a rookie. So you got one guy up against another guy without playoff experience. So,
and the good news, Lou said yesterday he has just as much confidence in Connolly that he did in Lucas Giolito.
That's true. That is true, Courtney.
Cool for the kid, bro. Like, in all sincerity,
so cool.
Like, you grow up in Walpole. You're pitching in the big leagues, taking on the Red Sox in a one-game playoff.
But listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But the pressure that brings along, being Man. Like a hometown kid.
Woo! Well, he can't lose. If he loses, his buddies are happy. And if he wins, he wins.
This is Mike from Florida. Good morning, Mike.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
What's up?
At least the game was over by 9 o'clock. That's the only really good thing I can take. Yeah.
It is a good thing.
Yeah,
Wiggy and I love that.
Oh man, so nice.
So look, we can point at a lot of different things. You know, to how they lost that game, why they shouldn't have lost that game. The fact of the matter is, they actually got back into the game after a horrendous start. Can somebody give Len a drug test of some kind? I mean, or maybe hit him with some smelling salts, or maybe a light taser. I mean, you can't keep calling this kid Baby Pedro. Baby Pedro would have gone up there and at least given you a couple of scoreless innings. He's horrendous.
No,
when you need him, he's horrendous.
Ken told me last night, he and I were texting, mm-hmm. and he said he's going to be in here early today. So I want him on the record. The lights were too big for Brian Baio last night.
They were.
Too bright, whatever the expression is. What did he get, 11 batters in? Shine was trying to blame it on the stomach bug. That was his original attempt.
Your Josh McDaniels blame onto the text thread was weird.
It was like every...
You're right, Courtney, it was the pitch calling by Josh McDaniels.
It was like every ball that came off the Yankees bat that he threw, you felt like, damn, that was a laser
beam. I felt like every ball that was hit last night was hit wicked hard.
Can we just maybe at some point put together a list of sports predictions that went right? It won't take long for Ken. There's two. Baby Pedro is offensive.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd. Pedro Martinez is the greatest.
This team is going to be Air Mac.
Air Mac. I can't with it. The Pedro Martinez and Baby Pedro have literally nothing in common other than they pitch.
And then you sprinkle the Shine Bales spectacular at Yankee Stadium on top of that with his lead.
That was
the numbers that he had were spectacular.
It was the entire game, and actually Curtis brought this up yesterday. It's great for baseball, but the entire game, it was nerve-wracking.
Yep.
At one point you got Slayton up there pitching to Judge, and I'm like,
Time Judge swings, aren't you surprised it's not 500 feet?
Right, right. Every time he does hit, I swear, I feel like, oh, that's a home run.
But to end it with the way that it did, I did think that ball was going out. It was so close.
You did?
Yeah. Santo and I were watching. We're yelling at the TV, go, go, go. But
I didn't think
it was
so
close.
Yeah, honestly, anything to right field at Yankee Stadium, I think, is out because it's the shortest porch in the world.
Yeah, Brendan Rice had a line drive, and it was a home run.
Right. Well, he didn't hit that one out because Wiggy thinks they haven't worked hard enough on hitting home run balls in practice.
No, you're just going to have a guy bunt that never bunts. But don't blame the coach for that.
Alex Cora's fault that Rafaela didn't hit that ball out.
Don't blame the coach for that. It's saying, hey, don't blame Vrabel for putting Drake May at defensive end and him not getting sacks.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a lot to get to. And if you'd like to be on this morning, and I'm sure you would, with your thoughts on the Boston Red Sox, that series now tied at 1, and it is win or go home this evening. What do we got for a start? Because it could have gone
8:08.
It's okay. So we end up with the late. I kind of like that though, because we're in Newport. So 8:08 start tonight. And so maybe we'll find a place to watch tonight as we get ready for the Flex Friday show tomorrow morning.
But how great is it as a Red Sox observer and fan to enter a one-game playoff and know that their fans are more nervous than you?
Mm.
Has that ever happened in the history of this rivalry?
Probably not. Also, unfortunately, something else that has never happened is that you've never had in this format, you've never had a team win the first game and then lose the series. So that could happen to the Boston Red Sox as well, Curtis.
Yeah, and you got, for the second time in the history of Major League Baseball, three winner-take-all games on the same day.
Excellent.
So, great day for seam heads like Greg.
Okay, this is Mike from my adopted home continent of Maine. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, Greg, I don't know why you are protecting Cora so much. If this was the Patriots, no, listen. If this was the Patriots, you would give Belichick for having them ready for any possible situation that could arise in a game. And Wiggy's completely right. If Cora would have practiced this and done this more during the year, they would have been better put in that position. I understand you want to put it on the player, but you can't give Belichick credit for doing all that stuff over the years and then turn around and blame the player.
They're Major League Baseball players. You can't coach a guy on, or you shouldn't have to coach a guy who's 22 years old, who's been playing baseball his whole life.
Do you agree?
On how to lay a bunt down? Like,
do you agree that practice makes plays a lot easier? That practice has a benefit.
Yeah, I have often said practice makes perfect. It's one of the things I like to say.
Okay, right? Then maybe they should practice it during the season, and that is completely on Cora.
Yeah, all right. I'm open to the possibility.
You love AI, right?
I do. I hate AI. No, I think I'm on record as hating it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll go. I guess.
Good morning.
I guess I'll go to AI.
Have you been listening at all for the last 36 hours?
I'll go to AI.
Please call Driveline.
AI overview. Zidane Raffaello had zero bunts in the 2025 season. Now, I don't know how accurate that stat is, but yet, so you ask a guy.
How many blunts?
I don't know how many blunts. I don't know if he smokes weed or not. Oh. I don't want to put that out there
right.
on a guy that might not do that. So you ask a guy to do something, and I get it's Major League Baseball. So if your theory is Major League Baseball and these guys don't need that, so why even have coaches?
Well, we've gone over this a billion times. Whether it's the lineup, whether it is...
You can have anybody put the lineup
making
in.
Making the decision. I will argue all day the decision on yanking Bayo if you don't think that was the right decision. I will argue all morning long the decision to let Garrett Whitlock get to 43 or 44 or 45 pitches last night. All of those things, those are on Alex Cora. A dude who is being paid... like Zidane Raffaello is in Major League Baseball and can't lay down a bunt when you need him to lay down a bunt, that's on him from my perspective. It's not on how many times he's practiced bunting this season. Like, that's just the way I feel about it. We can argue about it. I'm happy. That's what we do on this show. This is TC, my guy TC. Hey, TC.
What's up? So here's the situation. Wiggy, usually, you know, I'm with you, man. But I'm telling you right now, I haven't been in a batter's box since I was 18 years old, all right? And I'll promise you right now, you bring me down to Fenway Park and let me see 24 pitches. I will put a bunt down anywhere you want. These guys, for you to say it's Cora's fault this kid couldn't put a bunt down, Wiggy, let me ask you this, pal. You think you wouldn't catch a ball right in your hands if you went out there, this weekend, and you were wide open. You think you're going to catch the ball if it's to you?
No, I can catch a ball, but I do
that
often.
When's the last time you caught a ball?
But I do that all the time, though.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it is.
Do it all the time? When's the last time you caught an NFL pass, Wiggs?
I don't know. It's been a while since I caught a pass. But I do that all the time, though.
I promise you you'd catch one. I promise you'd catch one. You can't get a bunt down. It's pathetic. Now, I'll tell you when there should have been another bunt, but the Red Sox won the game the other night. Duran was up with second and third. The third baseman was playing basically at shortstop. If he puts a little bunt down at third base, and even though there was two up, normally he wouldn't do it. It's a tie game without question. It was 1-0 at the time. But anyways, the other thing I wanted to make a point of, the Yankees' third run last night was scored on a walk and a wild pitch. Baseball's a fundamental game. If you don't have the fundamentals, if you can't play fundamental baseball, there's no excuse. It was a walk, a wild pitch, then they score their third run. Their fourth run, a walk, scores a run. If you aren't fundamentally sound, you don't deserve to win. It's not Cora's fault that the kid couldn't get it, but I promise you. Listen, I wouldn't bet my son's life on anything. He's 2 years old, but I would be close to betting my son's life. Put a wooden bat in my hand. Since 18, I haven't done it. Give me 24 pitches. I will lay a bunt down whatever line you want. Bring me to Fenway.
Sick brag, bro. Yeah.
Thank you, TC.
TC, there is no shot in hell you're getting a bunt down.
He's out of his mind. He is out of his mind. There's no way he's laying a bunt down.
I love the commitment, though. TC just comes.
Yeah, I do. He just comes after.
He's almost willing to put his kid's life on it, but listen, TC.
Have you ever seen 90 miles an hour in a batter's box?
Right.
Did you see Marshawn Lynch was trying to hit the ball going 100 the other day? Just all he could do was foul it off.
Yeah. And Sadan hasn't probably laid down a bunt since he was probably 12 years old. I mean, come on. I love the fact that the people be like, oh, they could just go out there and lay down bunts. Then why doesn't everybody do it?
I just find it funny that you ask like one of your most clutch hitters all season long to bunt in that situation with no outs.
Yeah.
Just like let the guy swing the bat.
Yeah.
You've been doing it all year.
It's Alex, one thing if it's Nick Sogard or
Alex
Nate
Cora.
Eaton.
Yeah, Alex Cora should have gone out there and said, hey, when you're trying to bunt, please don't choose a pitch that is a foot outside of the strike zone.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, you can pull your bat back. You don't have to lay down the bunt.
That's what he needs to do. All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about this morning, and that includes our leads coming up momentarily, and then they set it at 7:20. And we will certainly go over what Alex Cora said post-game about those of us that were watching the game who can't really see everything that is going on at third base. So we will get to that and the rest of They Said It coming up at 7:20 this morning. The news with Courtney at 7:45, and that includes extra dipping sauce rage, which occurred in Kentucky. And also, Up Talkers in the News, one of my favorite segments, and this one is from Dorchester. So that is coming up during the news. I mentioned this the other day, but at 8:20 this morning, we got some cool news on some new Bruins programming here on this radio show and on this radio station. So we'll share that news with you at 8:20 this morning, and Hill Notes coming up at 9:20. And Bill O'Brien in about half an hour or so, if we can get to that. So all that coming up on today's show. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Red Sox dropped the second of the wild card series with the Yankees, a close one with 4-3 the final. A Scheim jinx this week as Brian Baio only lasted 2 1/3, giving up 2 runs on 4 hits while not getting a single strikeout. Trevor Story had a bomb in this one to tie it at 3 apiece in the top of the 6th, his first postseason homer since 2017, which is kind of crazy. Jazz Chisholm won this one for New York, running around 3rd from first base on an 8th inning single. He slides on his belly to home plate to get it done.
So it's Thank God he had the oven mitt on during that slide. I mean, really.
It's a great slide. Textbook slide.
It was. Yeah, really was.
Credit to Booney.
So it's win or go home tonight, 8:08 first pitch with Connolly Early getting the start. Lou Maloney, Will Middlebrooks, and Will Fleming are on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 7:08 for the MassMutual pregame show. We have Thursday night football tonight, Niners at Rams, 8:15 kickoff. You can listen to that game on EEI AM this evening.
All right. When are they calling for the island? Third quarter?
Oh, no, he's starting.
Oh, is he starting?
Yeah, Purdy's out, brother.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's still got back.
The toe is lingering.
They're playing with like the entire second team tonight because half the Niners team.
Well, the island is back.
Yes. Well, that was bad.
What?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
That was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Beefy savings are on today at Shaw's and Star Market. Get value packed beef petite sirloin steak or top round London broil, only $4.97 a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer. Short on time, order pickup or delivery. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network.
Okay, well, there is at least one thing that I know is true, and that is that someone on this show can always lay down a perfect blunt. And we will get a lead from him and everybody else coming up next. Sean, that band is named after my favorite utensil, that spoon and the underdog. Great choice this morning. I love that song.
Thank you. Sox are underdogs tonight. I felt it was apropos.
Why my favorite? Because inevitably you end up with sauce that is floating around unused, and you can't get that with a fork. You got to get that with a spoon. So
also,
thank
you
for the explanation.
Low key, an excellent insult to call someone dumb a spoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I really don't do that. I generally don't run around insulting other people. When it comes to their intelligence level, I don't feel I'm inferior to others. You must.
No, not at all. I think people who drive sometimes can be spoons.
Oh,
they're kind of dumb.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't really seem like a very effective put down. Like, what do you roll the window down and yell out, hey, move it along,
Greg,
you spoon?
I'm like Will Smith. I try to be a clean comic.
Okay. I don't know if you guys have had this experience, Courtney will shortly, where your child says things that you've never heard before and you realize it's what you say when you're driving.
That's probably true, yeah. All right. Bill O'Brien coming up. We may have to split leads up here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because of Red Sox rage, we're running way behind this morning. But leads are brought to you by Subaru. Fall in love with a brand new Subaru featuring symmetrical all-wheel drive. Find yours at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Greg. I think this lead from me is a little bit of growth today because this lead is about Mac Jones. Mm. And I actually feel bad for Mac Jones entering this game tonight. They're putting him in a horrible position. The receivers out tonight for the 49ers, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jordan Watkins. Oh, by the way, George Kittle's already been out, and Brandon Ayuk's missed the entire season. So that's five of their top receivers. Their best receivers in this game tonight are Kendrick Bourne, who they got in free agency because the Patriots cut him, and DeMarcus Robinson. Like, this is it's kind of wild. I understand he's going to have Christian McCaffrey in this game, but like McCaffrey's hasn't looked tremendous this year. He's looked good, but not old McCaffrey coming off the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. And Mac Jones is dealing with like a knee injury. So I feel bad that they are trotting him out here against a really good Rams team. And to Mac Jones' credit, if he somehow manages to get a win tonight, this will be the most credit I will ever give Mac Jones for a win in his life because you're in a really crappy spot. You're injured. You're in a really crappy spot with no help. Like, this would be – it would be impressive.
Mm. What's the line tonight?
8.5. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Rams are heavy favorites. They're a really good football team. I don't expect the 49ers to win, but if somehow on a crazy Thursday night something happened, Mac Jones would deserve a lot of credit.
The Rams are bigger favorites over the Niners than the Bills are over the Patriots.
Correct.
Wow.
If they win tonight, the island will be big enough to put a airport on.
Oh.
I think so.
Oh,
people will be saying,
okay,
this is Mac's home.
Mm-hmm. We generally like to travel there via boat.
Right. If you win tonight, it'd be big enough.
Yeah.
And add to it.
Sometimes we fashion a canoe out of a bunch of, we scoop out a bunch of pineapples and make a canoe out of it, and that's how we get around. But
are conga lines canceled, or are those still around?
I think they're still good.
Oh, good.
Well, you have to have a 6-foot distance,
right.
Social distance when in a conga line, according to Len Laird. Chime, give me this. Where's my social distance, please? It's a little slow on the trigger over there this morning.
I'm sorry, I can't read your mind.
Well, you should be able to at this point. I've been working together for a long, long time.
I can.
Excuse me, social distance, please.
Thank you, Len. All right, Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. Wiggy and I have been on the same team a lot when it relates to the media's treatment of Shedeur Sanders, but I am officially off the island.
Mm.
So Rex Ryan's adult, and he had this to say about Shedeur Sanders.
any coach. All right? But why the hell isn't he putting Shedeur Sanders? We're all waiting to see the Shedeur Sanders be the guy or Gabriel, whatever. Something's missing. Something's missing with this kid. This kid talks. He runs his mouth like he's a, I could be a starting quarterback with his arms crossed like this. Get your ass in the front row and study and do all that. If I know, the whole league knows. Quit being an embarrassment that way. You got the talent to be the quarterback. You should be. You should be embarrassed that you're not the quarterback now.
We'll see if they.
So that is Rex Ryan, I believe, talking mostly out of his ass. So I don't agree with him in general. However, what Shedeur did yesterday, and if you missed it, he did a miming where his mouth was moving and words were not coming out.
While being asked about the, you know, the quarterback situation or whatever, he pretended to talk and then didn't say anything.
Oh, really?
And then I saw Josina Anderson tweet out basically defending him, saying, I support this, that what do you want him to do? Why are you bothering asking him questions anyway?
Oh, my God.
What?
If Shedeur Sanders wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and not a martyr, then he's doing everything wrong. And I believe he's more talented than Dillon Gabriel. I believe that he was treated unfairly by many in the NFL draft process. But what you did yesterday, Shedeur, and what your father on social media reacted to with 15 laughing emojis is positively reinforcing bad behavior. And it sucks because he's not going to have much of a chance, I don't think, from here on. I mean, I don't know what his future holds, but he is being given really bad advice, and he's not listening to people that should be telling him otherwise.
Mm, I didn't see that. He was doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can't do that, Shedeur.
No. It's a think move.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And like, literally be, like, show that if you think you're the guy, then show that you understand the team of the whole thing. Yep. And that, you know, you might be upset with the decision, but sit up there and it takes you 2 minutes to tell everybody that you hope it goes well and you can't wait for your opportunity when and if it comes and blah, 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 blah.
You've been relatively good out in Cleveland as far as with the media.
And overall, it shows you care. Like, there is an aspect of caring there, and mm-hmm. I'm sure he cares about his football career. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the appearance of it isn't there for him because the media is not being able to write anything positive about it.
Yeah, you just got to, you know, take your L like a grown man and just say, all right, you know, hey, I'm wishing Dillon the best, but know in the back of your mind, if he doesn't play that well, there's a chance you're going to get the call in a week or two to be the starter.
It was ridiculous.
And this is a guy who didn't want to get drafted by the Ravens and would be starting this week for the Ravens if he had got drafted by the Ravens.
It's a good point, Sean.
Well, I mean, I know he thinks he's the best that there is, but his coaches out there obviously don't in this particular case because they're starting somebody else.
So. And what happened yesterday, we already know where he stands in the Cleveland organization. The other 31 teams saw that and they're like, okay, no thanks.
Yeah. Man, also, Curtis, did you know, I believe I've talked about it before, but mimes were the original irrational fear for me. Did you know that?
I think I do somewhat recall that. That is a great irrational fear.
I was one time in Miami, and there was a conference of mimes going on.
Oh, no.
And I was trapped in an elevator for 20 to 25 minutes with a bunch of mimes.
And No one spoke?
They wouldn't say anything.
Wow.
Like, they were sitting there doing, like, the mime thing. Like the fake glass thing up against the actual elevator door.
Right.
I'm like, guys. Like, can we talk? We're in the elevator here for 25 minutes, and they were just staring at me and miming.
Were you the only non-mime?
Yeah, I was the only non-mimery person in the thing.
That's tough.
Yeah, absolute
that is
nightmare.
Crazy.
That's tough.
I guess absolute nightmare.
The only worst thing that
did you just start ripping ass?
The only thing worse than that is you can get stuck in an elevator with a bunch of mascots.
Right.
Who don't, like, you know, like, they make like
they're
talking
huge,
to you.
And they're huge. I mean, you know,
it was terrifying.
The highlight of the football season for me so far is the Oregon Duck losing its head.
Well, I said, I'm like, hey, can one of you guys hit the emergency button? And then they just pretended to hit it. They didn't actually hit the emergency button.
Terrible. I mean, that is a good irrational fear for you.
So it was a real, real terrifying experience. Awesome. All right. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, coming up next on this show. The head coach of Boston College football on this show every week is powered by Verizon and by Shaw's and Star Market. Look for the new lower prices everyday tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy the most. Good morning, Bill O'Brien.
Morning, guys. I thought maybe you would skip me today because of the Sox, man.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, I'm assuming that you watched last night, being a Red Sox fan. It was somewhat disappointing.
I kind of always listen a little bit before I go on just to make sure I'm calling at the right time. And I heard the guy call. I heard the guy call in and say that there's no doubt he could get down a bunt. And I was like, buddy, have you ever sat behind home plate and watched how these guys pitch? It's a 99-mile-an-hour heater that's moving. So
yeah, not so much. I don't think. Maybe not so much. You probably heard Curtis's lead, and I'm sure you've watched, maybe not film-wise, but at least in a game situation, Shador Sanders play. Are you surprised that he's not starting this week?
No. I think that, it's hard to know what's going on inside the organization, but Kevin Stefanski is he's a good football coach. He's been around a lot of good quarterbacks, and I'm sure that he's made the decision based on, who's practicing the best and, who has the best, knowledge of what they're trying to do. I that's what I would assume. I'm not there, but, that's kind of what I would assume is going on.
Bill, obviously not the outcome you wanted last weekend against Cal, but when you look at what went wrong, I guess it was another game of missed opportunities for you guys, whether it was penalties, the interceptions by Lonergan, or the missed tackles. What do you think is the biggest issue that's facing you guys this season?
That's what it is. I mean, it's very difficult to get it fixed because, we're working hard to get it fixed, but it's basically 4 to 5 plays in every phase of the game that the other team right now is making those plays and we're not, whether it's an interception or maybe we dropped an interception or, like you said, missed tackle or, maybe they make a tackle in space that we don't make in space. So, I think I'm not that concerned about the penalties, and I can't really talk about that because I got reprimanded a little bit about the penalties and my quotes on the officials. But
Was there a fine involved? Did you have to pay a fine?
I mean, in the past I have, that's for sure. But anyways, I really feel like we're close, and I understand BC fans don't want to hear that. I get it, but I think these guys are really close to understanding, how we need to win, and they work very hard this week. We got to practice this morning, and I think we'll be ready to go.
Bill, you guys have done a really good job when it comes to your passing offense and yards per game with a young quarterback. How much are you talking to him about, ball security? Because if you look at that game, I believe it was two interceptions you threw inside the 10-yard line. How much do you talk about making sure we're making the right decisions, especially when we're inside the scoring zone?
Yeah, no doubt, Wig. I mean, I think that's the big thing. Like Dylan, at times has looked really a lot more than at times. He's looked very, very good. And then there's times, and he's still a young quarterback. This will only be his fifth start of his whole career. And so, it's just like you said, hey, if it's not there, it's okay to punt. It's okay to throw it away. And so I think he's, he has a lot of confidence in his own ability. So sometimes he tries to thread the needle and he can't do that. And so, sometimes it's protection. There's a little bit of a protection breakdown. So he gets hit right when he's throwing it. So it's not all on him, but we've worked very hard this week with him to understand, hey, this game plan, these reads and how we want to attack Pitt.
Bill, does it make it more important or more, I guess, more pressure on the players knowing that they have another ACC opponent ahead of them and you need to start getting wins within the league?
I mean, I think we really try to approach it, as 12 one-game seasons. We really try to preach that to our guys. I don't think they feel all this pressure. I think they're very frustrated, Courtney. I think they're frustrated. They know – it was kind of a frustrating locker room last week. We had the lead, we got the lead back. We lost the lead, we got it back. Then they took the lead late. We drove it down to the 4-yard line, had a chance to score a couple times, and threw an interception. So I think that they know that they're right on the doorstep of winning. And this is this. I mean, this is the type of program. We're not going to be in any blowouts one way or the other. We're going to be in close games where these these plays make the difference. And, you know, making the right decision, tackling people, being communicated, you know, all the way across to be on the same page is huge. And so we got to take it one play at a time. And that's what we're working hard to do.
Yeah, that is, that loss on Saturday is like an art form at Boston College. My entire life, the coaches have changed. Instead of just losing, and then you get that circus phenomenal catch down to the 5-yard line, and I'm like, oh, they're going to win. This is awesome. They're just in time to get kicked in the nuts. But, Billy, I'm curious. You're going to be playing at the same time, and you got a lot on your plate. But I'm fascinated by Dabo Swinney against Bill Belichick this weekend. Obviously, Clemson's in a unique spot. They've been struggling with the new way of the world in college football, and then you got Bill Belichick coming off the bye week. What are those two coaches like? What are their similarities? What are their differences? And do you have an opinion on what may transpire on Saturday?
That's a great question. As you go through, so this is my 33rd year in coaching, so I've been fortunate to get to know a lot of head coaches, and Dabo does a great job. I mean, he's very, very bright guy. And I think that the matchup of those two with all of his experience, and then Bill doesn't have a ton of experience in college football, is going to be fascinating, you know. And I know that both teams are ready to go. I think the game's at North Carolina, if I'm correct. So yes. I think that's I'm sure they'll have a great crowd there. And, I think that they both, you know, they're both very different people, but I know that over the course of many, many years, Bill has spent time at Clemson because, you know, Dabo's had a lot of great players. I coached a bunch of Clemson guys in Houston, and, those guys were very prepared, and they were very, very good players. And so I have a lot of respect for Dabo, and you guys know how I feel about Bill. So I think it's an unbelievable matchup of two guys that have been at the highest level, you know, one in pro football, one in college football, and now, you know, both teams, just like I said, all of us, we're all, you know, a lot of us are struggling a little bit, but it's going to be interesting to watch, you know, see that game on film when we get back.
Speaking of other college coaches, what would your reaction be to a linebacker on an opposing team who went IG official on the week you're playing him with a cuddle photo with your daughter, Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, I have two sons, thank God. But anyways,
I mean, that's dirty. That is dirty business.
Yeah, the whole social media is wild to me. It's absolutely wild. But I kind of follow, and I know Lane a little bit. I've known Lane for a long time, and he's definitely an interesting character and a very good coach, and I'm sure. But that's a whole story unto itself. I don't even know what to say. I'm flabbergasted.
Well, Billy, you're playing Pitt this week, and you know they're 2-2, but they have a coach in Pat Narduzzi. He's been down there for a long time. He's been able to put together some good teams. One thing that they really do, and it seems like they consistently do every year, is get after the quarterback. What have you talk to your O-line, your quarterback, about especially their pass rush and their ability to get after and put pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, you're exactly right. These guys play very hard. I mean, in all three phases. And so with our offensive line and our running backs, you know, they're involved in protection. We have to block to the echo of the whistle. You know, we have to. And that's one thing for us. When you turn on the film for Boston College, we play very hard. We can never stop that. And that's going to be a huge deal in this game. Like, who can finish, who can finish better than the other team? Because Pitt does a great job. Pat does an awesome job of getting his kids to play very, very hard for 60 minutes. And so we have to match that and then some. And we've emphasized that big time all week, Wig.
Bill O'Brien, we are hoping for a Red Sox win tonight, and we will do the same when it comes to Boston College this week. And thank you for taking the time, as always.
Thank you, guys. Go Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
think.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.